child shall give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. I love this story. I love this account. And I know historically, I mean, you do realize, I mean, Jesus wasn't born December 25th, but it's still such an awesome time to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Now, I want to ask a question, just a quick survey, just a show of hands this morning, because I know that we have, in our church, we have some great, great planners, right? You plan everything out. And then you got other people that are more spur of the moment, procrastinator type people. And so I was just curious this morning, how many of you are done with, you've already got your Christmas shopping done. How many? Anybody raise your hand? Oh my goodness. You need to write a book. That just baffles. Okay, here's the thing. I know there may be some in between, but how many of you have not even started yet? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. See, you're just like your pastor, that's all. You know, and I mean, we have planners, we have, you know, and if you're a planner, don't judge the rest of us, please. So, you know, no matter what category you fit in, you know, we have plans in life. Many of us plan out a lot of things. Some of you may already have next year's vacation planned out, or we make plans for different things. And, you know, but maybe something has happened in your life that you weren't planning on at the moment. Maybe you're job hunting at this season in your life, maybe at your age is what I'm saying. Or maybe even this time of year, something has caught you off guard. Maybe you didn't plan on the medical battle that you're in. Maybe you didn't plan on the blow up with your spouse. Maybe you didn't plan on the bad news you received and it kind of rocked your world. Maybe you didn't plan on the loss of a loved one, or maybe the job didn't turn out what it was supposed to be. Maybe you didn't plan on getting laid off, or maybe you didn't plan on getting in the car. But see, we could go on and on, right, about the you didn't plan part. There's things that blindside us all the time. The car breaking down, or this bill popping up. There's all kinds of things. And when I'm reading about the birth of Jesus, we know that there's a lot left out, right? We know there had to be a lot going on during this time. We really don't know what happened specifically because Scripture doesn't point that out to us. I mean, verse 18 tells us specifically that this is how that Jesus, the Messiah, was born. But we don't know how Mary and Joseph got engaged. They got betrothed, some translations tell us. I mean, we see this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born, and that she was engaged to be married. I don't know, has anybody ever wondered what Mary thought through all of this? I mean, what we really got to do is put ourselves kind of in Mary and Joseph place, right? I mean, maybe, you know, I like I said, Scripture's not specific on what happened, and so, but, you know, we can kind of have an idea because many of us in this room have gone through an engagement and a marriage. You know, we've gone through that process and that relationship. And I know that our culture is different than what it was in the first century. I know it was a different time then and arranged marriages and things of that nature. But I can't help but relate it maybe to our modern day, right? Maybe, you know, here's, you know, Mary and she's out of town, right? She's in the city. And there's this young guy named Joey. And so maybe Joey, he's a youth worker. And, you know, he went to this other town to start planning a missions trip. But he got there and was caught off guard because he met this young teenage girl named Mary. And he was like, wow. She got his attention, right? And so maybe they exchanged phone numbers and they started talking, you know, long distance, because this is before cell phones, and where you actually had to pay a lot of money. and they had these cards, these like $50 cards. You could get like 180 minutes, and they use it all up in one night, right? One night. And you know, and Joy was a great guy, but maybe he didn't make a lot of money. He was just starting out as a carpenter, but they started writing letters because this before email. And so they're writing letters, and there's maybe a few times that this Mary wrote Joey, and the letter was so thick, she didn't put enough postage on it, and he had to pay the extra postage to be able to get the letter. And so some time went on, and they started talking, and Mary's like, you know, maybe this is the guy. I mean, he's got a job. You know, he's not like the last guy that was unemployed and still lived with his parents and addicted to the Xbox. But this guy's got potential. And so it goes a little further. And so then they connect one night after a missions thing and at Chili's. And they're at Chili's and they're at this table and they order a chocolate brownie sundae. And they sit there for like 3 hours and talk. And it's at that moment that Mary knows he's the one. He's the one I'm going to marry. Actually, it was probably Joe. It took maybe Mary a couple of more dates, but you know, as I was processing about, and then you know, then they start planning the wedding, right? I mean, they get to that point, and he asks her to marry him, and you know, he's got the photographer off in the bushes, you know, to get that moment, and they start with a plan for the wedding, and so I really, well, you know, You understand that really wasn't like Mary and Joseph's story, right? Because they didn't have Chili's back then. But that's actually a little bit of a story about me and Angela. That's how me and Angela met. And she did know the first date, no matter what she tells you. She knew. But I started thinking about the planning process we went through when we were getting married. And I'm thinking that moment where they've been, maybe she had her private time with the Lord and she's having her devos for that moment. And all of a sudden she gets a word of the Lord. You're going to have a baby. I mean, put yourself in her shoes. I mean, wouldn't you be like, wait a minute, God. You know, we're getting the cart before the horse. You know, I'm not married yet. I'm just engaged. Oh, no. This is going to be by the Holy Spirit. I mean, could you imagine her calling mom? Hey, mom, guess what? I want to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you really got to put yourself in her place and what she's processing. See, her plans are getting turned upside down. She has this encounter with this angel, and he tells her the process of what's about to happen. And I got to say, when you're making those plans, just especially for our young guys in the room that you haven't got to that place yet, I get to counsel a lot of people fixing to get married, and it's always kind of cute when the guy thinks they actually have a say in the wedding. I'm like, oh, son, you're starting it out wrong, buddy. And I'll give them the same advice my wedding photographer gave me. I got it from my wedding photographer. We were at this appointment that Angela made me go to. I don't know why I had to meet a photographer, because guys really don't care. So, but, you know, we went and met the photographer, and he just looked at me and said, before I hear any of your ideas, just so you know, you're just the prop. He said, she's been planning this since she was a little girl. She's got all the magazines. She's got all the colors. And, you know, when guys get together, we don't talk about the colors of our wedding, right? So just a little word of advice. Just kind of put it in your back pocket. When it comes to that moment, you're just a prop, guys. So they're making wedding plans. And Mary's off by herself. And she has a holy encounter with God. And the angel speaks to her. I mean, she loves God, and this angel tells her, you've been chosen. You're going to give birth to a son. I mean, I'm just trying to think of how she felt about this. And then she had to go and tell Joseph. You know, and I think Joseph really, really loved her. You know why I believe that? And again, I know that I'm reading into the verse just a little bit. But him wanting to put her away quietly, to divorce her. You see, in that, in the first century, when you got engaged, it was as powerful as a marriage. And you just didn't break off an engagement. You had to get a divorce from an engagement just like you did from marriage. And the Bible says he was going to put her away quietly. He's going to divorce her quietly. And I believe that sentence tells me that Joseph was really hurt, that he was really blindsided. And we're going to focus in just a few moments, but we know that when Mary told Joseph because of this, I mean, he wasn't just like, awesome! I mean, I don't want to spend the time to go into the sermon about the birds and the bees, but we understand what this sounds like, right? Hello? I mean, if somebody came to you and said, oh, it's by the, you know, I got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, you would think they were a loon. It couldn't have been much different then. But Mary responds this way, no matter how it made her look. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. The scripture will be on the screen. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. To have that relationship with God, when he speaks something to you that maybe shifts your plans a little bit, that maybe something enters into your mind thinking, if people find out that God's speaking this to me, they're going to think I'm going a little bit crazy. But I'm going to tell you, when you are fully and wholly submitted to the Lord, and your life is laid down before him, and no matter what plans or purposes he puts in your heart, when your response is, Lord, I'm your servant. Let everything you just said about me come to pass. That's the place we need to be with the Lord. That is why Mary said to the angel, may it be done unto me as according to your word. Now, on all societal and cultural avenues, her life is, totally over by society standards. She's pregnant without a husband. She's going to be divorced, a single mom in a culture where you can't get any type of real job to support yourself. Matter of fact, in this culture, women are considered half of a man. I'm grateful that we've come a long way since then. But that was the culture of that day. And here she is pregnant without a husband. Put this into perspective. She, by society standards, she's going to be begging the rest of her life. Yet she still responded, Lord, let everything you've just said come to pass. Think about that for a moment. You can only imagine the rumors. Oh, Mary, you know, she says it was by the Holy Spirit. You know, that, you know, there have been, her life is, I can't imagine how it's been turned upside down. God, this isn't what I planned, but I say yes to you. Listen to me. God, this is not what I planned, but I say yes to you. I only do what you ask. And maybe this is where some of you aren't where you are right now. This isn't what I had planned, and I don't know what it may be for you, but maybe you're finally getting ahead financially, and then something blindsides you. Maybe you're planning on this great Christmas with your family, and then there's a family blow up. Maybe whatever it is, you got or are getting blindsided. But here's what I want you to know. You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You see, I may be even jumping ahead of myself right now, but the scripture tells us something, that he works together all things for good for those that love him. it doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. You're going to get blindsided by some things. But I'll tell you this, if you love the Lord and your life is submitted to Him, no matter what comes your way, no matter what blindsides you, He's going to work it out for good. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Turn to your neighbor and say, prevail. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I think that one of the biggest part of all this, and when I say you don't have to understand the plan, but to trust God has a purpose, is that word trust. Is that word trust. Trust means a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone. I mean, that's what the definition of trust is. And I just want to go through just a few scriptures just very quickly. They're there in your notes, in your bulletin, if you want to follow along. They're on the YouVersion event, if you use that to follow along. But the first one is, and I want us to kind of soak in these scriptures. Will you do that for me? Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Does anybody want to be blessed? Come on, does anybody want to be blessed? The Bible says trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are blessed and have made their Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees, listen, are not bothered by the circumstances. I know it says heat and whatever, wind or whatever else, but if we put it in our vernacular today, what that's saying is that those that are blessed, that trust in the Lord, your roots are going to go so deep that the circumstances of life are not going to bother you. I don't think you're hearing me this morning. When you are submitted to the Lord and you've laid your life before Him, and you're willing to say yes before the question's ever asked, and you can say, Lord, whatever it is you want from me, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to grow some deep roots. And when the trials come and the tribulations come and those circumstances come, you're not going to be bent over or broken or die out because of the drought. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Listen to this. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. In the middle of it all, you can still produce fruit. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. This is what God's going to do for us. You will keep in perfect peace. Anybody need some peace in your life? How about perfect peace? It's, you see what the promise is? You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Oh Lord, do not abandon our, let's go, and those all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. Psalm 9:10, I really like Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. You know what His name is? His name is whatever you need Him to be when you need Him to be it. That's His name to you. What that means is when you need a provider, He's Jehovah Jireh. That means when you need a banner covering you, He's Jehovah Nissi. That means when you need His righteousness to cover you, He's Jehovah Sitkanu. That means when you need a healer, He's the Lord God, our healer, Jehovah Rophe. Whatever you need at the moment of your deepest need, God can meet that need. I said, whatever you need at the moment of your deepest need, God can meet that need. And it will be found in the presence of the Lord. It'll be found in your trust in Him. Three things very quickly. You have to trust that God loves you. I know that's so hard sometimes for people. But these are very simple, very elementary things. You have to trust that God loves you. Now, the second thing is this. You have to trust that God is not taken by surprise. I should have added on to that sentence. Trust that God's not taken by surprise by your circumstance. When something kind of blows you out of the water, you got to know something. Your God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and he hasn't been caught off guard. And so when we trust in him as our strong tower, him as our shelter, the shadow of his wings covering us, those circumstances won't shake us either. Why? Because we don't trust in chariots and horses, the psalmist wrote, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. So Mary and Joseph's plans were wrecked. They were shattered. And so in verse 19, we pick up verse 19 and 20. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break off the engagement. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I know your world's been turned upside down. I know this has blindsided you. But you didn't know that what was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing I really want you to take home this morning is sometimes God's greatest invitations feel like our worst interruptions. Sometimes God's greatest invitations feel like our worst interruptions. Can I just tell you another story just really quickly? Okay, yes, all right. I'm going to tell you anyway. About almost 19 years ago, I did meet this girl, or it was 19 years. Was it 19? It was 18 or 19. That's what happens when you start getting old. And marriage is so wonderful. And me and Angela got married, and we were actually here in Odessa. I was a youth pastor here at Open Door, and she was a teacher in El Paso. And after we had a March to September wedding, we met each other in March and got married in September, and moved to Amarillo. When we moved to Amarillo, I mean, I loved Odessa. And Odessa was always on my heart. I always believed, as a matter of fact, after living in Amarillo, I always believed two things, is that maybe sometime in the future, I would plant a church either in Amarillo or Odessa. But something happened during all that, is that we pastored another church. And after that pastorate, I was 27 years old when I took that church. Then I felt like, you know, mature, ready, I can do this. Now looking back, I thought, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? And I know that after that season of my life, I was like, I will never pastor a church again. Never. Never. I was solidified on it. I was like, I will sell cars before I ever pastor again. That's the way that I felt. And so, you know, kind of make a long story short, where that kind of led us to was when we started doing Youth Alive. We moved to Lubbock after that and worked a little with my father-in-law, and then became Youth Alive missionaries for West Texas. And I talk about it all the time. I relate stories all the time. I loved being part of Youth Alive. I did. It was the perfect fit for me. It was a glove, getting to be with students and the school assemblies that we did. It was just amazing, and the travel and just everything with it. I loved what we did, helping students start campus clubs in their schools and helping students stand for their faith and all those types of things. And then I get this a Facebook message, and he may not remember, but I get this Facebook message, and it was I'm gonna throw him under the bus, but it was Ken. And he said, hey, this was after Tracy, a former pastor here, had stepped away. And Ken, he said, you know, would you be interested? And I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm really happy. I don't remember the whole conversation and what went back and forth, but I know I was pretty happy with Youth Alive, right? I wasn't looking to change. And I said, but you know, I always, when something comes your way, I believe the wise thing to do is to pray about it, right? Even if you're not expecting it. And so I began to pray about it. And so after some time, and I'll tell you what, I started having visions of that first pastorate. And I was like, nope, I'm done. We're going to keep doing Youth Alive. Well, then, out of nowhere, my father-in-law, he's like, we're going to plant a church in the metropolis of Roaring Springs, Texas. And I was like, you know what, Youth Alive's going well, and we were looking to change for our kids, and there was a school nearby, and I thought, you know what, we prayed about, talked about it, and the door opened up, and so Angela became a teacher at a huge school of 100 kids from kindergarten to 12th grade. In Patton Springs, Afton. And we got to move in the country. I'm going to tell you what. So here's my life just over 4 years ago. You guys know that I'm a redneck, right? I'm a country guy. And so, like, there's no streetlights where I'm living. Like, I have wild hog traps set in my backyard. I mean, I'm living the dream, man. I mean, we're out in the country, and I would go away and do my school stuff and travel and preach and all that. I'd come home and get to check my hog traps. I had a deer feeder right outside my back door where I could sit at my table and drink my coffee and watch the deer feeder with my gun right there too. I'm not lying. I'm not like I'm all taking pictures and stuff. I'm not. And then something happens. We come to Odessa, and I preach at another church and a mission service, and we're heading home, and Angela's in the car, and she's crying. And I'm thinking, what did I do now? I'm choosing my words very carefully. We're in the car. I'll never forget it. We're almost to Yukon, headed out. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, babe, what's the matter? And I can't remember her words exactly, you have to ask her, but she pretty much said, you know what, I can move here and do this. And I'm like, that is not what I was expecting to hear at that moment. I mean, I think I'd much rather have heard of something I did wrong. And so we just kind of sat on it, prayed about it, and then Open Door came open. And I know this is kind of, I just want you to bear with me for a few minutes. And so we began to pray, and I thought, you know what? I got to tell you, I mean, you got to understand the work that got into my heart. So when I say that what God does is that sometimes his greatest invitations feel like our worst interruptions, I blame my father-in-law and that Roaring Springs church, because what happened is when we moved out there and we really took on ownership of that church in the first year of its life, and we ended up kind of became a de facto lead pastors of that church, and then it was game over. It was game over, and God began to turn and shift my heart for something that I thought I would never be interested in again. And to make a long story short, I really thought Open Door was a church. I think maybe we could revitalize that thing, we could build that thing up, and I prayed for 6 weeks and never heard an answer from God. And I finally went and locked myself in our big, it's a big building, but it was a small church, our 70,000 square foot building there in Roaring Springs, Texas. And I locked myself, lights out, pitch dark, and I stayed there all day, twisting God's arm and telling God, I'm not moving here till I hear from you, God, which that didn't work for me. And I get in my car, I finally get done, I get in my truck, and I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I take a breath. And I start the car, and as soon as I do that, I mean, the phone rings. And I answer, and I look at the caller ID, and it's Dalton Froman. And I answer the phone. I'm like, hey, Dalton, what's up? He's like, hey, this is on a Monday. He said, hey, I just want you to know that I resigned Odessa First Assembly yesterday. And I know the church, those that are still here, were kind of shocked that moment. I was shocked to hear it. And I'm not any more shocked than when I heard him say next. You know what he said next? He said, and I'm telling the board, the one they need is you. And I'm like, that's not how it works, Dalton. there's God. You know, we got to consult God on this thing. You know, there's a board to deal. You know, I got to say yes. And it took me 2 months to put in my resume after that moment. That was in April, and I put my resume in June. Because here was my prayer. Okay, God, I'll do this in a couple of months if it's still open. Lord, they need a pastor. Put somebody in that pulpit. But long story short, it was me. And I'm going to tell you what. It's been the greatest interruption of my life. the greatest interruption of my life. I never saw myself here in this place. And so I share that long, drawn-out story about my life to tell you that whatever it looks like right now, God's got this. God's got this. God's got you. He holds you. Matt, the Bible says that he has inscribed you on the palm of his hand to be forever before him as a remembrance. I'm going to tell you something. God's got you. He has you. I mean, the Bible goes on to say, I'm going to have to kind of speed it up right here, I know. But what happens, something is this. And so, right, Joseph has this encounter with God, and he's like, okay, I can do this thing. But I'm just going to give you something very practical right now. When God's doing something in your life, not everybody's going to understand it. You know, the moment it all broke loose in their life, Mary probably didn't even completely understand, but she was still willing to say, Lord, whatever you want in my life. But I'm going to tell you, whatever God's doing on the inside of you, there is somebody else that God is working in. Because then Mary in Luke 1 has this encounter with the angel. And you know what the angel tells her about? It's like verse 30-something, I think, maybe 29, 32, around there somewhere. You know what the angel tells Mary in Luke 1? You have a cousin that's beyond childbearing years who's pregnant. So here Mary is pregnant by a miracle, and here's kind of another Sarah with Elizabeth happening. And you know what Mary does is Mary goes to sees Elizabeth. And the moment that they greet each other, you know what the Bible says happened? Is that John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb leapt because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you will yield and if you will trust in the Lord, some of you right now are on the cusp of God doing something new in your life. You're on the cusp of God birthing something on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. There's been a dream placed on the inside of you that God has been stirring and working. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't go to the wrong person. Don't go to the wrong person. We all have naysayers in our life that would say, what are you thinking? God doesn't do it that way. That's not how God works. You're not smart enough. You don't have the talent. They tell us all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you something. There is somebody around you that God is stirring in and birthing something in. And when you bring that together, there is something going to happen. And some of you, maybe you've been burned so many times, you're scared to dream again. My encouragement to you this morning would say, just yield to the Lord. Yield to the work of the Holy Spirit and let him birth something new on the inside of you. Because you know what the result of that will be? You see, what was Jesus' purpose? The Bible says that this man's going to be born and his name is going to be Jesus. And he's going to do what? He's going to save people from their sins. He's going to establish the kingdom of God. You see, what God wants to birth on the inside of you and bring through to fruition is you changing lives. Is you leading people to Jesus. Come on, church, don't tune me out now. You see, whatever God stirs in you and works on the inside of you, remember, I mean, the Bible backs this up. It's Philippians 2:13. For it is God that works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that he sanctifies us thoroughly through and through our spirit, our soul, and our body. God wants to do a work on the inside of you that will change history. God is not looking for extraordinary people. He's looking for ordinary people that will yield to him to accomplish extraordinary things. Are you coming along with me this morning? God wants to stir something on the inside of you. He wants to burst something on the inside of you. Now I want you to stand this morning. You see, just like it happened with, and sometimes, you know what, it catches you just off guard. Listen to me, I know this is not a cliche. I know this is something been said by many people in many different ways. But listen to me. God can turn your greatest hurt into your greatest ministry. God can turn your darkest circumstance to impact the most people. God can turn, God can change, God can shift whatever wounded your heart for you to bring healing to those that are wounded. Are you following me this morning? Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you have not come to that place yet where God is stirring in you to, I know it's maybe for guys, it's really, really hard to visualize and catch hold of this. But you know what? The principle is there, is that God wants to do something on the inside of you where when people encounter you, listen to me, when people go by your desk at work, when somebody passes by you at the grocery store, when your neighbor is in that place of need. You see, he was going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, am I calling you? No, there's this theology out there, and I don't want to get onto that. That's not what I'm saying you are, but I tell you this, that when people get near you, you can be at the place with the Lord where they say, wow, that's what a Christian is? Wow, that's what a believer is? Friend, I want to say something very direct this morning. If people react surprised that you're a believer and go to church, there may not be something adding up in your life. People should not be stunned. You see, the Bible says, don't hold that light under the basket. Come on now. Don't let that basket cover up that light, but let your light shine. Let your light shine. I want to add this just very quickly because I don't want it to be missed. You see, I said earlier, one of the first main points was that you don't have to understand God, to understand the plan, to trust God has a purpose. But when I read Matthew 1 and Luke 1 and I read the birth of Jesus, there's one thing that I know without a doubt. Is God interrupt the plans of Mary and Joseph because the purpose was you? The purpose was you. That you're God's purpose. You see, there's so many of us that we're looking for that plan and direction from our life, and maybe we need to just kind of tap the brake on that a little bit and see first that we are God's purpose. We are the object of God's affection. He says that we are his workmanship, his masterpieces.